Christoph Reuter.
Well, for the Pakistani government, it's something very unique and peculiar because they have basically, in the madrasas which started to be erected in the 80s under Zia-ul-Haq, they have been breeding suicide bombers basically over the last 20 years. They have created this very radical Islamic movement, which then not only turned against Kashmir or Indian Kashmir, but also turned against Pakistani state institutions, Pakistani policemen, Pakistani people. This is an example of a government or of a secret service which is very much into self-destruction, into destroying the state for the sake of having this radical wing which can be deployed for any kind of military undercover action in Afghanistan, where they're very active, or in Kashmir, which is discussed or thought about if it's belonging to India or to Pakistan. So for Pakistan, it's a very unique, very difficult country. But let me come back to the one government which tried with enormous intelligence and efforts to fight suicide bombers. This was the Israeli government over the 90s and the first years of 2000. And finally, suicide bombings went down against Israeli citizens, not because they were finally so successful, because it's so difficult to stop someone who's on a one-way single mission. They went down finally because within the Palestinian society, the idea or the perception of this is too expensive. We are sacrificing our people for nothing. We're becoming a horrible society which was proud of sacrificing their sons for nothing. This was the reason it went down. So governments have very little chance really to stop this. It's much more about grief resolution within a society, with the groups. If there's a radical movement, a radical organization, as for example radical Muslims in Nigeria, it might be much more successful try to convince the less radical parts of this movement that this is so self-destructive that this should be stopped.
And we've still got Aliha in Abuja and Zainab in Baghdad listening and joining in our conversation. And Akura just mentioned morals and values in his second point. Floyd posts on Facebook, education is key. The more we know, the less likely we can be used. And he gives the example, the Mumbai attackers did not know how to use a water tap. And before I come back to you, Christoph, what about you, Zainab? Do you think education and more of it where you are would put a stop to some of this?
Well, before that, I just want to add something about this government issue. I just want to say that we don't have a trust anymore in our government to help in the issue of attacks and these bombers and terrorists. I mean, we just let's say lost the trust in the government in helping in this issue because they are not helping us actually, but helping the other side, I mean the terrorists. Because each day we are discovering that some of the heads of the government, I mean, one of the heads of the government is having hand in what is happening here in Iraq, for example.
Okay, and so could they help more effectively in terms of education then? Because I suppose that is a governmental responsibility in most places.
Well, actually, I think in the field of education, yes, people must depend on themselves in educating their children, for example, and educating themselves against this issue. I mean, to have, let's say, conscious, to have a knowledge about what will happen and what will they will be able to do in time of facing, let's say, attack or bomb cars or et cetera. I mean, and helping other people if we can say that, yes.
Aliha, how about you? Education, is that the key?
No, not at all. I think, in my opinion, the government cannot actually cope this suicide bombing, because today the high class of movies that people sit in their houses and watch, they teach them a lot of things they don't know before. Let's take for instance engineers coming into places with these bombs. Before, it's not like that. They can dismantle it to become electrical parts. When they go into it, they want to detonate it, they assemble it. You see, education brought about this. A lot of families will sit at their home and watch all of this program in high-class movies. And some of these children that are still teenagers that are growing up, they want to put them into practice. Before you know it, a child of 8 trying something out that looks like a bomb and explosive. We see them around our neighborhood. So when they grow, they want to do the real thing. So part of what those people are fighting against is that Western education have brought a lot of damage because they cannot control the crowd anymore. They don't have this one voice. When they say stop, they stop. Some people now come up to challenge them. So I think education is good. But in the other part, it has this advantage on the whole thing, because it's going to be very, very difficult for any government to cope suicide bombing. Yeah. Because these people, it's not because of the money involved. They've been brainwashed. They've been told series of lies that they've convinced them beyond reasonable doubt that if they die in this cause, they are going to inherit something somewhere.
And so that's not necessarily because they're uneducated, and maybe that's a point we'll come back to later. Can I just put this point to you, though, Ali, here we just had from Uma in Nairobi. He tweets that Nigeria screams out that federalism has failed there. Its state is riddled with anarchy, corruption, religious strife, you name it.
When he talks about corruption, the ordinary person is corrupt, right from the family circle. It's not only in Nigeria, but I think it's around the globe. When the father in charge seems to take advantage of the wife and the children, the child has the privilege, the opportunity, wants to take advantage of others. You know? So corruption is everywhere. It's in a global scale. We should be thinking of how morals could return. And I think the only place we can talk about morals or we can get good guidance on morals is God's word. That is what I believe.
Okay, well, that's Aliha in Abuja speaking to us. You're listening to World Have Your Say. You can join our conversation. We're talking about suicide bombings because of a few such attacks in the last couple of days in Iraq, Afghanistan, in Nigeria. You can give us a call. It's country code 4420 7083 7272. Are you still shocked by such attacks? Now, Susan Muller's still waiting and very patiently listening to some of the experiences from people around the world who've been close to such attacks, and also Christoph Reuter, the author of the book My Life's a Weapon, A Modern History of Suicide Bombing 2. And you two and all the others, as part of our conversation, address this point. And perhaps, Susan, I'll start with you. Patrick in Kampala posts on Facebook something a number of people have brought up. The elephant in the room, he says, all these attacks are carried out by Muslims. Think about that.
Are you asking me about that?
Yeah, I mean, what do you make of the fact that time and again, people come up with that point when they're talking about suicide bombings?
I think it's looking at suicide bombing much too monolithically, because in many cases, when it is Muslims, it's Muslims attacking Muslims. So what you really need to do is look at what's the context of the environment, not necessarily take a look at an individual in an isolation. And I think one of the things that you've asked a lot of the people who've lived in Nigeria and Iraq and elsewhere, you've asked them about whether they're fearful. And I think as someone who looks at suicide bombing and who has written a book about terrorism, I would say is that the real point of suicide bombing typically is not to kill people. It's to create a climate of fear. It is to, I suppose one could say that, you know, killing 5 rather than 1 or killing 20 rather than 3, you know, may at some level factor into the equation. But the reason why churches are targeted are because that's seen as a protected environment. And if you rip away from a culture the sense that there are protected sanctuaries, like a church, then that changes the culture of a place. And I think that's relatively poorly understood by media, even by the everyday public. And I think that's something that would benefit from more discussion.
Okay. And I mean, this point comes up time and again every time we discuss this subject. I mean, another tweet here, poet Maggie from the southwest of the United States, that suicide bombs killed at least 184 people. It's not shocking, it's expected. The message is Islam or death. I mean, let's go back to Zainab in Baghdad. Zainab, what do you think of this linkage that people make between Islam and suicide bombings?
Well, actually, I don't understand why they are putting these terrorism upon Islam. Actually, we were living, I mean, under Saddam Hussein's regime, we were living, and the past, I mean, in the past, yes, we were living together. We are all Muslims, and even we have Christians here in Iraq, and we were living without attack, without any bomb cars, without any thing, I mean, and even in the other countries. But it is, I mean, after the invasion, after the U.S. invasion in Iraq, so recently it becomes, or we have these things. I mean, before that time, we don't know what is the meaning of terrorism or of attacks. So actually it is a new thing that happened here in Iraq. Yes, I can talk about my country here. Hmm. So I don't understand why they are putting these things upon Islam, upon Muslims. I mean, she just said that Muslims are attacking themselves or attacking Muslims. I don't understand this point. Why she just accusing Muslims of being killing each other? I don't understand this point.
Talk directly to Susan. Susan, I mean, respond.
Yeah, Susan.
Go ahead.
I mean, I guess would agree that I think Iraq particularly has been poorly covered. Even when Iraq was the leading news story in the world, one could argue that suicide bombing was the poorest covered part of the violence that was occurring, whether it was military violence or terrorist attacks. And that's in part because it was